the most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So let's find out what's going on around the world. Washington, D.C. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, what's going on, brother?
Well, Rick, great to be on your show. A lot of things. First of all, the caravan. Definitely wanted to talk about the caravan because it's down to about 4,000 people. Then you add 1,000 that have come across New Mexico. So they're talking about 5,000
right.
People. But the president has sent, 5,000 kind of match, one for one, 5,000 troops to the border. There was a warning, and of course we've dealt with this and we've seen this story before about armed citizens that could be on other people's land down by there because there are people that,
you've got all those, the Oath Keepers, the Minutemen.
Right.
You've got these radical, I'm going to grab my gun and we're defending the homeland. It's nuts. And you've got a president who just keeps ramping the rhetoric up. And I would argue giving those people, the lunatic fringe, giving them the A-OK to go ahead. And look, I'm expecting there to be some bloodshed here. I'm expecting that the way this is ramping up, I'm expecting something horrible to happen.
Yeah, a lot of people have expressed that, just what you said. And, at some point in time, and I plead ignorance on this, I thought that people could go down to the embassy to file asylum or to the consulates, and they can't. I didn't know that. I don't know why they don't set up processes, for that,
right.
For them to be able to file. They have to come to the border.
Right, and I always thought that was the case as well. You go to a different country.
Sure.
If you lived in a different country, you went to the consulate, you said, hey, I'm seeking asylum, and you were inside the gates of, our little building, you were secure. But you're right. It's not like it is in the movies.
No, it doesn't happen. Half the consulates, you can't even get in, even if you're a citizen, to ask them something without an appointment. So that's why. I don't know if this will fizzle a bit. And by the way, political impact, I am not sensing, just from calling friends across the country that are involved in elections, both sides. I'm just not sensing this is becoming the issue, for example, in Ohio in the Balderson-O'Connor race, which, by the way, Balderson is in some trouble, the Republican incumbent that won the special. I just don't see for example, in that race of, this is the top priority. I mean, they're trying to say, O'Connor will let people all into the country, but it doesn't seem to be a top priority. I think the base was, the president was attempting to stir the base up because the tax bill didn't really do a lot in this election.
No, it hasn't. Look, most of the people I know, it hasn't helped. They're not seeing it in their paychecks. In fact, most people were expecting a huge boost, because he was here in Harrisburg, pimping that thing along with the big truck behind him. And he was saying $4,000 for every family. I don't know anybody. I literally know no one who got $4,000.
Mm-hmm. And then also a lot of it doesn't actually even, if it does kick in, it doesn't kick in until next year.
Right. But isn't that when some of the negative stuff starts happening, especially as they start pulling back what little was supposed to have trickled down to the rest of us?
Right. So I just don't think it was a huge impact. The health care has been a huge impact. The economy will continue to be, part of it. I think the House races, the other issue we were looking at today, there's going to be and I surely hope they advertised on your station too, some of them, there's going to be 7 billion spent and 5.2 billion by election day, spent on mailers and advertisements and radio and TV ads, et cetera.
And every election cycle, I ask the same question. Is there no way to spend that money wiser? Mm-hmm. I mean,
this is record smashing, unbelievable money, but I got to tell you, if they don't get the voter turnout, I don't care what they spent. You have to have the voter turnout.
Yeah, and look, I look at this whole, the caravan, they're sending the military down to the border, which I still don't get. I look at this birthright citizenship nonsense that Trump is now throwing out there as just a way to froth up the base. And look, they were going to come out anyway, but this is just another one of those measures to get them all tingly and all frothed up even more so.
Yes, hey, by the way, the Koch brothers are taking a back seat. The big Republican donor is the Nevada casino mogul.
Sheldon Adelson.
He's the biggie. He and his wife, Miriam, have handed out $113 million to groups aiding Republican candidates. Of course, on the Democratic side, you've got Tom Steyer. He's donated $51 million to federal races so far.
Yeah, I mean, you look at $113 million to Sheldon Adelson, that's couch cushion money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's worth what, like $30 billion?
Yeah, hardly.
And you think about how much of our democracy that they're able to buy up, by basically handing out those donations. Look, you were in Congress, you know how this gig works. I had a friend who told me, it's not like they're buying my vote, but they got my ear for 20 minutes.
Well, I used to when I was talking about campaign finance reform, because they had the McCain bill, which I didn't feel was going to do anything. But when we were talking about it, I said, at that time, there was a couple of rich white guys on both sides that were funding elections, Now there's a lot more than a couple that are funding. But so it'll be a very expensive election cycle. It'll be fascinating. It's around the corner. So we'll see what happens.
Any predictions?
Well, right now, if I were to call the election today, the Senate is going to hold Republican. The Arizona seats become interesting, but it's going to hold Republican. Manchin wins in West Virginia. I would call the House today to the Democratic side by 5 to 7 seats.
Okay. So you're talking about a close.
5 to 7 is what I would call it.
All right.
Now, again, we've got from now till Tuesday, which is around the corner, but it's a lifetime in politics. I think it's some of it's narrowed. They need 23 seats, but there were some seats that had to be defended. A couple of little blurbs and bleeps right here with a couple of candidates. And I put it more on the 7-seat side, if I had to call it today.
All right. Well, look, at least Democrats are grabbing something back and adding some accountability here. I want to ask you about the birthright citizenship argument.
Right, sure.
Because, this has been going on for a while. This isn't new. Trump didn't just dream this up. This has been something that I've heard Republicans say for quite some time. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yes. Okay. And I won't occupy all your show's time.
Okay.
But English, because this is interesting. English common law, 1790 naturalization law, 1868 rights law. You can go back to when slaves were awarded citizenship because they were born here, right? We can keep going with that. There is a history from the 1700s forward with this.
Right.
And there's the 14th Amendment. The President of the United States, and I'm not, normally I say, I'll yield to legal scholars. He cannot do an executive order. He can't do this for citizenship. They can't introduce a bill for citizenship to undo it or do it different. It would have to be the amendment process to the Constitution and the Constitutional Convention. It's there. Now, if somebody wants to argue that somebody comes here and they are illegal and they have a child, the child stays, the child's a citizen, but the parents might have to leave, okay? Now, they can go ahead and argue that. But because a person comes here and they're not legal, undocumented, whatever you want to phrase it, that doesn't mean that you can take away, common law history, English common law history, and from 1790 forward. You weren't kidding when you said a long history. It's a long one.
Well, it is a long history, but, you are now hearing the caveat. And while the 14th Amendment, Section 1, does read, all persons born or naturalized in the U.S. Are citizens, they're taking that little caveat of and subject to the jurisdiction thereof and saying, well... You know, that only means Americans. That only means people who were born here, not those illegals, because they're not subject of that jurisdiction. And you go, you know, we've got, as you've pointed out, hundreds of years of precedents already set here. And how far do we go to throw people out?
Well, here's another thing. You can't craft an executive order. Let's say you can do one, hypothetically for a second. You can't craft an executive order, and it won't hold up constitutionally, where you say, if you are born here and your parents are illegal or undocumented, therefore you're not a citizen. What about the tourist that comes from France? They are undocumented because they're here on a tourist visa, right?
Right.
But if they have a child, it applies to that child being able to choose citizenships. So what, you're just going to, anybody born here, you know, if you come here to work, you're legally coming here to work and you have a child, but you're, you know, from Germany, that child has certain natural ability, if they would choose at an age, to become a citizen. So, I mean, even if you could do executive order, you can't just do an undocumented person, because what is an undocumented person, you know?
It's who we say it is when we decide it is.
Right. Right.
And it would be the greatest executive order. It would be the best executive order ever if he were to craft it.
I know why. Because it would. You're talking about the ability to not carry it out. I mean, it would be an outrageous argument.
But, you know, again, you know, there's part of the. This is where you go, is he actually serious about this? Is this, or was this just, hey, here's some stuff to fight over. Here's a distraction. Go look. You go do this while we continue to rob you blind.
Well, I think it's a distraction because any lawyer will tell the president you can't do it. I mean, you can't. You know.
But you had Lindsey Graham who came out and said he thinks he can.
Well, yeah. Well, Lindsey Graham's really changed. I mean, this is a guy that went from being a Trump thorn in the side to, once Senator McCain passed away, became, you know, the best friend of the president.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't know if Lindsey's bucking for that AG job or what, but
maybe. Sessions is going to be fired Tuesday night.
I'm expecting that. I'm I've been waiting for it. And will Rosenstein go as well?
No, I don't think he will. I really don't. I think Sessions will.
All right. Well, we're going to keep an eye on that. And finally, the latest sex scandal. Evidently, Robert Mueller has been patting people on the behind.
Well,
doing a little tushy touching.
This is interesting. I've never heard of this guy. I have no concept who this guy Berkman is. But he was supposed to have was going to pay somebody $20,000. He's a GOP activist, by a credit card, if they made accusations of sexual misconduct and workplace harassment. And so this woman came out and has told the FBI he wanted her to do that. He was going to pay her. And then he came out and said, no, I've never paid anyone. I've never paid anyone to do such a thing. Well,
he didn't pay her because she didn't do it.
Right. He didn't do it. And then he said, this is really very silly. Mueller's doing the usual, trying to deflect his own problems. Then he turned around and he said, well, he's representing a woman who allegedly met Mueller in New York in August of 2010. And so that's where it stands.
Yeah, and when they looked into it, I guess the guy, Mueller, was doing jury duty, and they claimed that, you know, the attack happened in a hotel room that doesn't exist. So they didn't actually do the legwork. And there's part of me that goes, this was just an attention getter. Hey, look at me, you know, to kind of push themselves a little further into the conservative, you know, crazy world.
Right. But they think somehow they make business out of this. They don't.
I'm hoping the two of them, you know, find their way to prison. Good luck. You know, I'm hoping the FBI pursues this because this kind of thing can't be allowed to happen on either side of the political aisle.
True.
When someone comes forth with a claim, you know, you want it to be credible. You want the people to be accountable. And at the end of it, if they're lying, you have to hold them accountable for that as well. At least that's my view.
No, I think you're correct.
There you go. Bob, I appreciate the time and the thoughts. Good
Thank
stuff.
You.
Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Seriously, I mean, at the end of it, these crackpots who are, you know, they're just looking to make, you know, a name for themselves in conservative circles. And, you know, this is the lengths that they'll go to. Because, oh, you know what? Those liberals, they were lying, so we're gonna do it. Screwy. Just screwy. Quick break. Right back.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.